this area is so personal to me, and still being deeply formed in me. In fact, there's probably things I might share that I may need correction on. That's okay, because my heart longs to know him in this way. And so instead of just following notes and things, I just want to speak from my heart to my family. And, you know, these are areas you can pray for me, that the Lord will, that the Eliezer will get what the bridegroom needs. I was afraid to share because I was like, Lord, if I say something, then I might release it before it's formed in me. And I'm still a little nervous about that. But I trust the Holy Spirit. He is just beautiful. And the way he knows, I always feel him bringing things to remembrance. And I go, that's the wink. That's what you want to say. So please don't be deceived if something of the Lord comes forth that came from him. And it's something that I needed formed in me. And how wonderful is that? While Randy was singing, I was thinking, the story quickened in my spirit. It's one of my favorite stories. It's a true story. It's about a man who was a Nazi, a German soldier. He wasn't a Nazi, he was a German soldier. And, you know, at the end of the war, they went into the POW camps. And it was hard for them. Not just because they were in a POW camp, because the weight of the guilt of what they'd done. You know, it's one thing to be in prison and you robbed a bank and you should be there. Or it's another thing to be in prison because you're righteous and you're being persecuted. But to know you're on that level, you deserve it, and then some, and then some more, and then some more, and then some more. And you just kind of lay there. Can you even imagine? Probably want to commit suicide, I mean, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And this man's conversion came because he, by the Holy Spirit, somehow, by God, the living God, the real one, realized that Jesus was going to lay in hell with him. Mm-hmm. He's going to go right down to that place and make his bed with the transgressors and just be his brother there. Take it, take it, take it, take it. And in that deep darkness, this beautiful light laid down beside him. This light visited him. I used to always think, if I was in a prison cell, like what they were singing, Lord, give me a window. Just a little window where the sun rises. So even a little particle, you know how the particles come sometimes? Mm-hmm. I could see that little particle of light in that darkness. And I'd think of you. I'm not asking you to open the doors. I just want the light to come in. You know? Mm-hmm. Not to get me free, but to be there, mm-hmm. to be the light in the darkness. I know the scriptures talk about the lamb being the light, not the deliverer, you know, not the Messiah who changes everything like the Jews thought would happen, but this lamb is the light. He's this beautiful. He's the light of life. He's the light of the Father's express image. He's pure light, radiant light, but his light comes because he lays in hell with the transgressors, because he doesn't get delivered. He gives himself in such a beautiful, what kind of man would go to the cross and do that for me? Not even worthy to kill. And there he is on a cross. Light shining. Giving life to a world that only crucifies him. But what a light. What a radiant, glorious light. I said, Lord, I have myriads of teachings. But if I could have one particle of you as light in me, as lamb light in me, you change me into your image. I'd have something that would go into death for other people and give them light. Death works in me, Paul said. But life works in them. Something shines out of the dying of the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't make people smart or understand. It gives them life. Isn't that something? Yes. I want that Jesus formed in me. Amen. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cry, but it's just very personal. It's unformed, it's raw. It's a cry of my heart, like, it's so personal, and I need it so much. The scripture is like, in the beginning, Randy said something. I wrote it down. It affected me so deeply. It said, in the beginning, God did not teach. He said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the first things out of his mouth in the scriptures. The earth was, and listen, I don't understand these verses fully, but I know when I read them, my heart just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel the Holy Spirit trying to form Christ in this. The earth was without form. I mean, I know we understand, we're the earth. We're the earthen vessels. We're the place. Yeah. We're the earth that's without form. Without form, he wasn't formed. There's, and void, I don't know that word void. It's just such an expanse of, you know, just void. I don't know what you feel when you hear the word void. Void. The earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was no light. And yet the Holy Spirit said, but Kelly, there's a face in the deep. There's a face. Do you think that that man thought there was a face down there in that dark pit that he deserved? But there's a face. There's a face that the Holy Spirit wants to unveil in a dark and formless earth that's void. I don't even know what to say. And the next... The Spirit of God moved on the face. He moved on the face of the waters. It wasn't just waters like, oh, this beautiful Atlantic Ocean and Irish Sea. We're talking about a void, darkened, gross, dark, unformed earth. And here comes the Holy Spirit moving on a face in the waters of the Word. But it's so much more than teaching. Nothing's even been written. Here's the first words. And the next verse, and God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And there was light. Mm-hmm. I don't even have just Holy Spirit. God said, let there be light. And there was light. I was thinking about the times when I'm in a situation of darkness, a situation of death, a situation of pressed beyond measure. Situation where an opportunity to get some of that lamb light shining in my heart could come. And I can hear God saying, let there be light. Let there be lamb. Let there be the clarity of God in you, that you are not being punished. You are not being reproached for reproach's sake. You aren't just going through this because of failures or evil people or But I'm saying, let there be light. Let the lamb start rising like the day star. Let something of the eternal spirit start coming up and forming you and filling you and not delivering you, but bearing in your body the lamb. Let there be light. And I thought of, well, the Holy Spirit looked at Paul's conversion. Here's Paul. His story is very similar to that German. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's killing Christians. I don't even pretend to understand the depth of what that conversion meant and was to God, because I believe it's holy ground, because so much lamb came out of it. But when God talked to him in Acts about, or he recounted his conversion experience, and he talked about how God was going to make him a witness to the Gentiles of these things. And not a preacher first, but a witness. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Verse 23 of that chapter says about Paul's conversion, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that would rise from the dead, because he would show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That this light that comes out of this Jesus that gives himself would reach the unreachables, the Gentiles. A book can go so far. A ministry can do so much. But the dying of the Lord Jesus, shining out the image of God in his true being, gives light to the nations. And it's on the wings of the dove. It's not, it's the Father's exaltation. It's a God saying, let there be light, and there was light. And people aren't taught deeper life things. They take the image. They become after his kind. There's a kind that hits them. And they're changed. Christ in you. The hope of glory was what he said to the Gentiles. You know, and that was a scripture Randy shared about a mystery and the riches of it from before the foundation of the world. The riches of the glory of the mystery. That this Christ would, the glory of him would be, this image would be in the Gentiles. Where would that be birthed? How could that be begotten? And Paul was the vessel through that which he would suffer. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is all of that. But I'm not going to go into, I don't want to go too far into the scriptures, but to say, something greater than a message hit Paul. And God sent something greater than a minister when he sent Paul. And God put him through things more than Bible school, so that something more than a great teaching could come out of that man. And then he put him into a lot of death and darkness, so something greater than a testimony could go forth. But that he would bear in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus, which I believe is light coming out of darkness. Amen. Even in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, and God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Amen. And then he goes on to say, for we bear in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's all one context. God said, I am not trying to proliferate a message. I am sending my crucified son in a man, in a woman, in a people. And in the things they go through that could be called darkness, he wants to shine forth the light of the face of the crucified one in a spirit that can... I remember there was a recent trance. Randy had a couple dreams a couple years ago, and the basic summation of them was death is the answer. And I transcribed it and did an audio recording. It just affected me. And as I'm listening and typing and reading, I'm just, do I really believe that death is the answer, that the dying of the Lord Jesus in my mortal flesh and our mortal flesh is really the answer to everything, that death is really the answer? And do I believe it so much that I'm willing to bear in my body his dying and not make it about deliverance or anything else but the gift, that the excellency of this treasure in my earthen vessel would be this one, and that I would be given opportunity after opportunity, if I would say I will come, to let him give his life through me? And instead of calling it darkness or punishment or I failed, I'd call it being married to the Lamb. I don't know. I need the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 60, I'm just going to skip a bit. It said, and the Gentiles shall come to your light and to the brightness of your rising. They're not coming to us. They're coming to this beautiful one that was given. In Isaiah 9, I'm going to read a few scriptures that will just kind of give a testimony of this, even in the Old Testament, which Paul searched. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. I have to read that again. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You don't see that kind of light when you're not in darkness. And those that dwell in death, those that live in death, unto them has the light shined. And then Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, shine, for the light is come. The Lamb is in thee, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people, but the glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to your light. That slaughtered lamb that's giving himself. And the kings to the brightness of his rising. Then you will see and flow together. His crucified body. And there will be an enlargement and an abundance of the sea. The forces of the nations shall come. All the flocks shall be gathered together unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance upon my altar. They're coming to an altar. Not to a place to get blessed, but to be given, because they've received the light of the Lamb. Here's another verse in that same chapter, verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. Not day or night, those gates stay open. You know, when we're going in that place where we want to shut the door, the night, the dark night, those gates stay open. And we just say, Lamb of God, just give yourself. My soul might not like this, everything in me. But bring them in. Bring them to you. Death is the answer. Your death in me is the answer. Wherefore you were forsaken and hated, I will make of you an eternal excellency. Your sun shall no more, the sun shall be no more your light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto you, but the Lord will be unto you your everlasting light, and God will be your glory. Your sun, and I found it interesting, it said your sun will never go down anymore. Neither will your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be our everlasting light, and the days of our mourning shall be over. That confusion that comes. The next chapter is Isaiah 61, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, etc., opening of the prison to them are bound. The verse 3 says, this is the one where the Lord hit, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And that was just kind of what hit me, that there were those who were in Zion, they were in Christ, they were joined to Jesus, but they're mourning. There's this sorrow, there's mourning. And he said, for the ones who are in Zion but are still mourning, I want to give beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And just have a few notes. And I probably won't go very long, but just a few things to ponder here. Mourn in Zion. The darkness can bring a wrong death that produces no light. This mourning, this sorrow, when these afflictions come, there's this heaviness, there's this depression. And we're mourning because we don't see that God wants his light to shine out of this darkness in us. The Lamb is ready to give himself. They are blind because they don't see this darkness is an avenue for his death. It's an avenue for light to shine as the Lamb gives himself through us. So he wants to give these who are mourning in Zion beauty for ashes. And the next note says, they see that the beauty of the Lamb is right there in times of darkness. Instead of ashes, they're seeing beauty. You know, I've always thought of that scripture as, oh, I'm going to have the beautiful gift given to me after I go through a hard time. But instead of looking at it as ashes, there's still death. The altar is still there. The fire is still going. But I'm seeing beauty. Because I'm seeing, look at, the Lamb is manifesting. He's giving himself unto ashes. He's pouring out his life. What's beautiful is in those ashes is the Lamb giving himself, shining, dying. This is the most beautiful thing in the world, in the universe, is that those ashes don't make me mourn anymore. They're beautiful to me. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. I will cherish. You know, some people have a little thing where they put the ashes, you know. What if in our spirits we took the ashes of every time Jesus gave his life through us in a hard situation, we treasure them as the most beautiful remembrance. Mm-hmm. Oh, you gave yourself, and not about me, them. Mm-hmm. Look, there's life happening, these ashes. They're just laying dormant because they're completely consumed, but they're alive, they're living. Sure, they don't know where that life came from, the death of Jesus in a member of his body. Thank you, ashes. Beautiful ashes. Beautiful opportunities to let him give himself through us. Oil of joy for a spirit of mourning. No more mourning. Instead now, there's this joy coming up, going, an opportunity to fellowship with him in his sufferings. This is the moment where I can reach his heart. I can be after his kind. Rejoice. It doesn't say, what is that First Peter scripture? Count it all joy as James. There's this joy unspeakable, full of glory. To see him and not call it strange fire. But to say, this is the moment I was born for. To bear in my body the light of life, which is the nature of a Lamb. And he's going to do it now. We're going to be together now in eternal ways. And oh, joy unspeakable. And what? Full of glory. Where does glory come from? Light is sown for the righteous. A sown light. A given son. An altered lamb. It's the highest. It's the highest. A garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Oh Lord, I've been so overcome with sorrow. Oh heaviness. Because the situation is like what Paul said, pressed beyond measure. And you know, we all know, don't we? All know. And all of a sudden, God said in these verses, he'd give us a spirit of praise. I don't know what. Clothed in the excellencies of light that shine in the darkness and bring life to many. It's a garment of light instead of a garment of heaviness. I'm clothed in unapproachable light. I'm bearing the hidden wisdom. And no one sees it, but the Father sees it. And I praise him in the midst of the congregation that I might be with him in this way that is better than deliverance, that is better than teaching, that is better than people understanding me, it's better than anything in the whole world to be with him in this way. Yeah. Reaches his heart and fills his desires and meets his needs from before time and gives him one after his kind. And Lord, please help me not be blind and mourning and counting it a horrible situation and a spirit of heaviness when my moment is here to love you. Well, we all do it. I miss it all the time. Isn't he? He loves us. He loves us so much in those times. And he still woos us until we come. We fall in love with him again and again by the way he treats us in the process. Until the time of life comes where he gives his life. Isn't it funny that the time of life is when we can finally bear his dying and not mourn? Listen to what happens from the scriptures when people receive the work of God in them in this way. These shall build the waste places. these ones who let this happen. And they will raise up the former desolations. These ones will repair the waste cities. These ones will repair the desolations of many generations. I have to go to my journal now because I didn't have time to write what the Lord did. They will build the waste places. They will build the wasted opportunities to be with the Lamb as light. They're going to build up those places where they mourned loss and were blind to the glorious light of His face. And they're going to come now into a whole new building up into the sun, a whole new relationship. Those wasted places, those wasted opportunities are completely being redeemed now. Because why? Because they have an oil of joy for mourning. Because they have a garment of praise. Because they are one with the Lamb and His eternal purpose. They're no longer outside trying to get free or wondering why I'm so confused. This is happening. They're one. They're in. Raise up the former desolations. The areas that have lain desolate and destroyed because there was no witness, there was no fellowship, there was no oneness, no light, just blindness. Those places are getting built up. The former desolations where there wasn't, the earth was void and unformed, and the light wasn't shining. All those, the desolate places in our earth that feel void and empty, they're being built up. How? Because the slaughtered Lamb is taking the throne, and we're understanding His wisdom, and we're allowing Him to be Him. And those places that lay desolate now are being a fruitful garden to God. We may look like a desolate minefield to the world, but He's in the Song of Songs walking through His garden, smelling it. My kind, my kind, my kind. Oh my God. In the place He was crucified, there was a garden, a hidden garden, because she's with me, holy God. You can't tell me this is real. It never happens. It's happening. They shall build the desolate places. These ones will repair the waste cities. It's all scripture. Now it moves to a corporate level. It's cities now. There's healing in the body of Christ. There's wholeness and flow because a new spirit is filling the members of Jesus. Now there's a temple. There's a city. Zion has the light of the Lamb. Isn't that the wife of the Lamb in chapter 21:20 of Revelation? Now Zion isn't a waste city, wasted because she has no clue she's meant to walk in the light of a Lamb. He's supposed to be her moon, no more need for a sun or a moon. The Lamb is the light thereof. She's coming into who He has made her in Him, who He is. This city is not a waste. This is the city of God. This is the wife of the Lamb. They're repairing the waste. They're coming in. They're transitioning. It says, these who minister are named, it's verse 6, priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. Instead of mourners in Zion, they got a new name. They're ministers of God, of our minister to Him. They're priests. They give His life to others. Is there a higher? Peter has this verse. That's a good verse too. I'm going to find this verse in Peter. I have it marked in there in my notes. Peter, chapter 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Here's it, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Catch this, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous in God's eyes is this rejected cornerstone. Marvelous light. Hidden light. God light. Priests, holy nation. God shared 1 Peter through Randy. And we saw people coming into what these verses are saying. Not mourning or calling it strange fire, but fellowshipping. Being with Him. Isn't it beautiful? Here's a verse back here. Next chapter, chapter 62 of Isaiah says this. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Well, what is he not holding his peace for? For Zion, his wife, his city, his home. What is he not resting over? I won't rest until their righteousness goes forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof is as a lamp that burns. He's going to bring her in to the image of God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Because that's his heart, like was just shared through our precious brother. That Eliezer, that spirit, that father, they wanted the son to have a wife who is with him in his true kindness. Yes. And he wants her clothed in the beauty of the Lamb, in the glory of God that comes from the Lamb giving his life. You know, we say the wife of the Lamb in Revelation, is her walls are transparent gold. And we see gold. God sees the Lamb shining out of her without any disturbance of her getting in the way. And he goes, oh, she's clothed in light because she's out of the way. She's with me. There's no blockages of me, me, me. My soul needs you to change something. I need an explanation. It's so confusing. What have I done? Do you still love me? Am I still one? Are we still together? He's like, shut up. You're dead. Now let my light shine. Me, 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 me goes into the grave and light shines out to others because the Lamb is your light. It's no longer about you. If it's about you, it's about giving your husband one after his kind by saying, I'll give my life. It ain't about me. It's about you and me, and it's not about you because you're going to give your life for them. And I'm not going to stop this river that flows by love by turning it back on my unsaved soul and mourning in Zion. When I should be building up the waste places, I should be letting the light shine to the Gentiles. God wants to bring in the forces of the world to the crucified. Death is the answer. I want to be a part of the answer. Yes. And I can't if I resist the dying of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to resist being a part of what God's doing in the earth, what God's doing in his wife, what God wanted before the foundation of the world. I say, yes, I will come. I will come. I watched this movie that, oh my Lord. You know, every now and again, God just gets you right there. And this was a true story about a man from Austria who went to prison because he wouldn't join with the Nazis, basically. And in prison, this was a transcript of his journal. So this is a real prayer. This prayer. So I wrote it down because I'm telling you. You. This is his words. You, and he ends up being killed, his head cut off in the prison. And he knows it. He knows it. So he's going to have to be with the Lord through all the fear and all the constant torture and, you know, being a human, but being with by the Lord. So here's this prayer. You, my shepherd, puts a whole new tinge on shepherd, doesn't it? Make me lie down in green pastures. What about those pastures? They're different, aren't they? Because his purpose is to be given, not delivered. Make me lie by the river of life. He knows he's going into death. He's not asking to get out. You, my strength, you show me the path. You show me how to walk through this. Shepherd my soul to be an offering by your Spirit in me. You, our light. Darkness is not dark to you. Bring us to your eternal light. To you, the true, the never failing light. Father, to you I cry. My rock, my fortress, who sees us. He sees us, but he doesn't deliver us. Because he didn't deliver his son. He let him shine on that tree. Give me strength to follow you. Spirit, lead me. Show me. May my prayers be like that. I read the Psalms after that and I was like, David, you make more sense to me now. You're not just asking for help in the ways my carnal, selfish, you want to be with him in the death. You don't want to miss the opportunity. You're a man after God's own heart. May my prayers be this. I don't have to be doing good. I won't do good. But in my earthen vessel, in my earthen vessel, you have put a treasure that has excellency in a power that comes out of death. The power of God is the preaching of the cross. It's not us getting stronger but weaker by the Lamb giving himself. Oh, this excellent power, this treasure. I am the earthen vessel. Now, one maybe last thing. It's about Gideon. Just a thought. Gideon, where are you, buddy? Gideon. Gideon's army. Oh. Had the broken vessel. Mm-hmm. We know. And the light that shined out of the broken vessel, right? Yeah. So there's a little picture there of light shining out of mm-hmm. our darkness, our earthen vessel, and the treasure of Christ giving his life through us, like 2 Corinthians 4:7. But the Holy Spirit challenged me one morning. He said, what if the weakness and brokenness in Gideon, the earthen vessel, was beyond our surface and petty idea of what being earthen and broken is? What if he was a shattered man? And the glorious light that saved him is more precious than any human words could ever define. 2 Corinthians 4 isn't merely a surface thing, but the depths of our brokenness finding light that will shine in darkness and give life to others through Jesus. You know, Gideon didn't just have the light and the broken vessels, the bread and all that. There was a sound of a trumpet that was also. And the Lord said, there is a sound to hearing the gospel. There's a sound. And if we don't hear the Holy Spirit wanting to move on the face of the deep and let the light of the Lamb become our life, then our brokenness is wrong. Our light is wrong. Our approach to battle is wrong. Our spirit is wrong. We first have to let the Spirit breathe into us the beauty of this one, to move on the face of his depths, the deep things of God that he freely gives us, so that we can freely partake, because we love him, of his wisdom, of his light, of his Spirit, and be changed from glory to glory into that same image, even by the Spirit of God. Same neighborhood of verses. Changed. Why? So we can give his life to others. So we can be with him in the way he longs for. That's all I have. I feel like I've shared even too much because it's so informed in me. But may, for the Lord's sake, for his heart's sake, and for us being here in Ireland for him, may we all just love him like this. And may the Holy Spirit minister as he sees fit. He knows how to get us to Jesus in the way Jesus needs us. And so we're in his hands, in the Father's hands, who knows that Son and what the kind he needs.